Welcome to AI Unraveled, your daily briefing on the real-world business impact of AI. It's November 14th, 2025, and today the Titans are placing massive multi-billion dollar bets on the future of computation and cognition. Microsoft has unveiled an AI superfactory. This isn't just a data center, it's an industrial-scale investment that fundamentally remaps the landscape of AI infrastructure. Meanwhile, OpenAI just released GPT 5.1, promising a model that is smarter, faster, and more human, complete with new personality presets that could change every customer service flow overnight. Also on the rundown, Google's ambitious play to remove every disease from Earth, Valve announcing three new products, and a look at why Microsoft's CEO is enforcing a strict in-person work policy for his AI teams. We'll also catch up on today's breaking news, covering the MLB MVP, Verizon layoffs, and the latest on the Copa del Mundo eliminatorias. Before we dive in, let's talk about how you get your intelligence. If you value this high-signal, zero-noise approach, you already know the difference between generic content and strategic intelligence. Stay tuned for a quick word on how you can leverage this exact methodology to brief your own C-suite. Ready to define your domain? Secure your strategic podcast consultation now. Link in show notes. Now let's unravel the news.
You know, if you feel like the sheer volume and the speed of AI news is just accelerating past your ability to track it.
Oh, absolutely.
You are definitely not alone. Yep. It's not just about a new chatbot anymore, is it? It's about the simultaneous revolutions in physical infrastructure, in digital physics, and even in the AI's personality itself.
And that's really the high signal intelligence we want to distill for you today. We're going to focus on three critical and I think interconnected fronts where AI is really expanding right now.
Okay.
So first, the enormous physical scale, the infrastructure being built.
The hardware.
Then these breakthroughs in fundamental intelligence, specifically something called world models.
Right.
And finally, this surprising shift toward deep, almost cynical personalization in how we all interact with it.
Our goal here is to cut through that noise, because what the sources are showing is this fascinating tension. You've got AI building these colossal superfactories for pure processing, while at the same time, it's trying to figure out how a virtual tree falls in the digital grass, and it's learning how to be cynical with you.
Let's start with the hard reality then, the physical AI arms race.
It's just massive.
The investment is unprecedented. Microsoft just unveiled an AI superfactory in Atlanta. We're talking a two-story, 1 million square foot complex.
And it's dedicated entirely to training models.
Entirely. This isn't just a data center. I mean, you can think of it as a temple to pure computation.
And the scale inside is just staggering, right? We're talking hundreds of thousands of densely packed NVIDIA GPUs.
All of them needing a serious liquid cooling system just to keep from melting.
Of course. But the crucial part, I think, is its connectivity. This whole facility is tied into the Fairwater network,
which uses 120,000 miles of brand new fiber optic cables,
laid specifically to just crush the latency between data centers. It's like a dedicated nervous system for AI.
That is the foundation of the competitive landscape now. And what's really significant about that computing power is who gets to use it. It's not just for Microsoft's own models.
Yes.
It's available to major partners. That includes OpenAI, Mistral AI, and this is the strategically interesting one, Elon Musk's xAI.
So Microsoft is building the world's biggest playground and then basically leasing swings to its direct competitors.
It seems like a huge vulnerability, doesn't it?
It does, but I guess it guarantees that their colossal investment gets used heavily, right, from day one.
It's a calculated gamble on just dominating the infrastructure. Now connect to that physical scale, the shared resource model, to the policy for the actual humans building these things inside the same company.
Ah, okay, the human paradox at Microsoft.
Exactly. So Mustafa Suleiman, he's the CEO of the Copilot and Consumer AI division. He's imposed a really strict 4-day in-person work policy for his team.
Which is much stricter than the company's general 3-day mandate.
Yeah, far stricter. And he wants open floor plans, desks grouped into these little neighborhoods. He says it's all about forcing that informal, spontaneous collaboration.
So his thinking is, when you're building the fundamental intelligence, the messy creation phase, you have to be physically present. You need to be breathing the same air.
But here's the sharp contrast. Other huge, equally important AI groups inside Microsoft are not doing this.
Right.
The Cloud and AI group, They have no return to office requirement at all.
None.
None. And the Corrier Group, they're just adopting the standard 3-day policy.
So the insight here is really sharp then. The leaders are making a distinction between foundational creation and just scaling the results.
It seems so.
They believe the messy, iterative work of a true intelligence breakthrough-like building co-pilot.
Yeah.
It needs that physical, you know, shoulder-rubbing interaction.
Whereas the work of simply deploying and managing and scaling cloud AI.
That can be done effectively from anywhere. That's a huge philosophical divide playing out in actual HR policy.
It's a great way to think about it. Okay, so let's leave the world of physical buildings and mandatory commutes for a minute and pivot to the cognitive scale.
World models.
We need to talk about world models. They really are the next crucial frontier beyond the large language models we've all grown accustomed to.
And we know current LLMs are incredible with language, but they just fall apart when you ask them about physical space and causality.
Oh, completely.
They can tell you how to assemble an IKEA cabinet, sure, but they don't actually know if the virtual screws will hold. They don't get the physics.
That failure to grasp real-world physics is what Dr. Fei-Fei Li calls a lack of spatial intelligence. Current LLMs predict what to say, or maybe what a scene looks like.
They're just rendering an appearance.
Yes, they are essentially brilliant screenwriters who have never actually walked on a movie set.
That's a great analogy.
Precisely. World models are designed to be the director and the physics engine. They understand and simulate reality. They predict how a scene unfolds, how it responds to actions.
So it maintains an internal understanding of what consequence.
Exactly. State and consequence. So if you make a tree fall in a world model, the virtual stump actually cracks and the digital grass gets flattened, and crucially, it stays flattened. It understands persistence.
And this is already moving into the hands of creators. Fei-Fei Li's World Labs just launched Marble. It's their first commercial world model.
And it generates these persistent 3D environments from text, images, or even existing 3D layouts.
And you can export these worlds right away, not just as videos.
No, and this is key. You can export them as 3D files, like meshes, or, importantly, as Gaussian splats.
Which, for anyone less familiar, is a modern, really high-density file format. It captures lighting and texture incredibly efficiently.
It means these simulated worlds can plug directly into professional gaming, VFX, and VR workflows right now.
That is moving incredibly fast. So then we have the PAN model from the Mohammed bin Zayed University of Artificial Intelligence.
Right, MBZU AI. They're pushing the concept of generality here. So they're training PAN by combining language, vision, and action data all into one unified space.
And their main technical focus was stability, wasn't it?
It was. They structured PAN to separate reasoning from perception.
Just to keep the model grounded.
Exactly. To stop it from, you know, hallucinating physics. And they measure its success with two terms that really matter: long horizon performance and agentic usability.
Okay, let's translate those. What does that mean in practice for you?
Well, long horizon performance is just a measure of how long the model can run a complex multi-step simulation, say, navigating a complicated obstacle course, before the physics just break down or the model forgets what it was doing.
So it's a measurement of endurance, of stability in a dynamic world.
That's it. And agentic usability is about measuring how effectively the model can actually use that knowledge to complete a complex task, something that requires planning and manipulation.
So the goal isn't just a smart simulator. It's a truly functional digital agent.
Exactly.
So if these models are getting smarter about the physical world, how are they adapting to the, let's say, messy psychology of the human user?
Ah, well, that takes us to our third front: personalization and personality. And this is all highlighted by OpenAI's recent GPT 5.1 release.
An update that was very focused on user experience.
Heavily. They released two key models. You have 5.1 Instant, which is faster, warmer, more instruction focused. And then 5.1 Thinking, which takes a bit more time on difficult technical topics, but the result is much more clarity and efficiency.
So the real conversation starter here is the personality focus.
Oh, for sure. They introduced these experimental personalization settings where you can fine-tune really subtle things, like how many emojis it uses, its warmness, how concise it should be.
And this all culminates in choosing one of 8 tone presets.
Right. You can pick from default: professional, friendly, candid, quirky, efficient, nerdy, or my personal favorite:
cynical.
Cynical.
The fact that cynical is an officially supported tone preset for a general intelligence model tells you everything you need to know about where user interaction is heading.
I wonder if the cynical tone is just the professional tone, but honest.
That's probably exactly what it is. It's AI recognizing that users actually prefer a specific, often less than optimistic, persona for certain topics.
But what's really fascinating about this whole rollout is the lack of traditional fireworks.
The hype gap.
The hype gap. OpenAI didn't give us the typical aggressive benchmarking data we've come to expect.
Which suggests one of two things, right?
Yeah.
Either they're shifting to a smaller, more incremental update cadence.
Or they were pushing really hard for a rapid tactical deployment to get out ahead of a rival release, maybe a Gemini 3.
And as our relationship with these models gets more personal and maybe more cynical, the issues around our data privacy just become even more critical.
And we are seeing a major legal battle playing out over exactly this right now.
OpenAI is aggressively fighting a court order.
An order that would require them to hand over 20 million anonymized ChatGPT conversations to the New York Times for that big copyright lawsuit.
And OpenAI is framing this fight very publicly as a privacy issue. They're calling the request an invasion of user privacy and a speculative phishing expedition.
Their claim is that almost all of those transcripts have zero relevance to the actual copyright claims.
It's a very strategic move. By positioning this as a defense of user confidentiality, they're signaling to all of us that even as these models get deeply customized and personal, that conversational data is, in their view, protected.
Right, regardless of how the copyright claims eventually shake out. So with that foundation of scale, intelligence, and personality set, let's just quickly look at how this is all translating into real-world impact.
Okay, in health, the stakes couldn't be higher. Google's AI venture, Isomorphic Labs, is aiming to start clinical trials with AI-made drugs.
And their long-term goal is just audacious. They want to try to wipe out all diseases.
100% eradication.
Total eradication. Then, on the commerce front, Google is developing a flow that lets you call stores, browse products, and check out, all using AI agents.
So you just give the AI a task, and it handles these complex, multi-step shopping trips for you.
Exactly. Meanwhile, the physical world still insists on injecting a little humility into all this.
Right. There's this great anecdote from Russia. Their first humanoid robot, Adel, which was built with 77% domestically made parts.
It malfunctioned and just fell flat on its face during its debut.
A classic calibration error in its balance algorithms.
It's a pretty sharp reminder that bridging that gap between digital simulation in a world model and physical robotics is still incredibly difficult.
And finally, we're seeing AI integrate into news delivery at high speed. Computer vision and LLM captions are being used to pump out personalized why it mattered reels for, you know, the MLB MVP announcement.
And workforce planning models are deciding where the cuts fall in the huge Verizon layoffs. So AI is shaping how we work and how we even experience current events.
So what does this all mean for you? We've covered these simultaneous advances across building colossal hardware, simulating fundamental physics, and developing this sophisticated emotional personality.
The takeaway really is that AI is tackling the cosmos. It's trying to model fundamental reality and the laws of physics.
While at the same time, it's dealing with the messy nuances of human personality by offering you a cynical chatbot.
The industry is just pushing boundaries physically and cognitively at maximum velocity.
And this rapid, diverse development means the professional landscape is changing, well, weekly. It's creating new risks and opportunities constantly. And you're now equipped with the highest signal intelligence to understand these shifts.
I mean, we've seen AI move from just understanding language to trying to simulate the entire physical world.
With world models and aiming for total mastery over disease.
So if the goal now is total mastery and optimization over our physical and digital environments, if AI can build the factory, simulate the physics, and adopt the attitude.
It raises a really important question for you to think about. What is the next fundamental, messy, and uniquely human domain?
Be it complex ethics, or deep relational psychology, or abstract creativity.
That these advanced models will try to fully standardize, simulate, and ultimately optimize out of existence.
Thank you for joining us for the deep dive.
We'll see you next time.
That brings us to the close of today's AI Daily News Rundown. A huge day with the launch of GPT 5.1 and its new personality presets, the massive investment into compute by Microsoft, and the groundbreaking world model released by MBZU AI. And let's not forget Google's AI diving into the mission to remove every disease from Earth. Stop marketing to the masses. Start briefing the C-suite. You've seen the power of AI. Unraveled. Zero noise, high signal intelligence for the world's most critical AI builders. Now, leverage our proven methodology to own the conversation in your industry. We create tailored, proprietary podcast designed exclusively to brief your executives and your most valuable clients. Stop wasting marketing spend on generic content. Start delivering must-listen, strategic intelligence directly to the C-suite. Ready to define your domain? Secure your strategic podcast consultation now. Find the link in the show notes. Thank you for unraveling the business of AI with us. We'll catch you tomorrow.